Thanks for joining us on another NACE International podcast. This one, as we continue our interview series at Materials Performance Magazine, the official membership magazine of NACE, we're joined by a longtime NACE member, that being Mark Cadle, Director of Services at Mesa Products. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. And first off, thank you for coming on. Beyond being an expert in the corrosion field, one reason why we wanted to get you on the MP interview series is to talk about your recent newsletter about leadership through the COVID-19 crisis. Now, certainly you're in a leadership position at Mesa. I know you've been in the cathodic protection industry for more than 30 years. You've got a number of NACE certifications. All of that is great, but you've been fairly proactive on the COVID-19 front over the past month. You wrote a very nice newsletter talking about some of the things that leaders should be considering as they navigate this current pandemic. Why did you feel compelled on this particular issue to speak out, and how generally have you seen the industry doing as it pertains to those priorities?
Well, I think it's interesting. As I started in the corrosion industry, I, like most people, were kind of mentored and coached that our main responsibility for growth and achieving whatever you wanted to achieve in your career was primarily based on your technical ability, your technical competence. So I, like many people, spent countless hours just soaking up as much technical knowledge and experience as I can gain with the hope that's going to lead me to whatever I wanted to accomplish in my career. And that had some significance, and it had some effect, and I started to see some of the results. But once I got the opportunity to move into a leadership position, and I want to be real clear, it was a position of leadership, not that I was a very good leader, I started to realize that the skills I had never learned or developed or was really even coached to develop was leadership skills. I was sound technically. That helped me to achieve NACE certifications and to be able to grow on that side, but I lacked leadership skills. And I think that's a gap we have in our industry overall. At some point in most people's career, the ability to communicate, the ability to build a team, a successful team, isn't reliant on our technical ability, it's reliant on our leadership skills. So I saw that gap in myself and started down a road that I had to improve those skills, grow those skills. And by definition, it's a skill, which means I was starting at the very bottom of the range of skill. And it's taken a lot of time to grow any level of leadership ability. Now, in a time of crisis, leadership is absolutely critical. This will define you as a leader. And I think we've seen that historically across. If you think of country leaders who are defined their presidency or their leadership of their company, it was defined during a time of crisis, not at a time of prosperity. So now more than ever in our industry, in many industries, how well you are as a leader is going to define your legacy.
We're on the phone now with Mark Cadle, Director of Services at Mesa Products. My name is Ben Dubose, staff writer at Materials Performance Magazine. This is part of our MP interview series. Mark is a useful resource for us, certainly within the corrosion control industry, but he also wrote a paper called Leading in a Time of Crisis, which you can find at materialsperformance.com if you want to read that while you're listening to this podcast with Mark. And we're talking and picking his brain about the COVID-19 crisis and what the industry can do to navigate, to get through this. And I want to ask you, in your paper, you acknowledge that it sort of hit you one day, that being the significance of the COVID-19 crisis. You mentioned that typically you don't like to have that much negativity. When was the point in which you realized the gravity of this situation and that it was going to cause some dramatic changes to, I guess, number one, our day-to-day life, but secondly, the industry?
I would have to say it was probably late February that I even realized how significant this was. I'm not a person to have negative around me. In fact, I do everything I can to eliminate or avoid negativity in my life. So watching the news was never part of my daily routine. About the end of February, I started getting information from my wife and other people, my family, that, hey, this is a major event. And at that time, not that significant in the United States, but certainly in other countries in the world. And started looking at the projections coming out, and probably I was no different than most, didn't really believe everything I heard. But it didn't really impact me until the beginning of March. And that's when I could see things were changing rapidly. We have a nationwide business, and we have offices both on the East Coast and on the West Coast. So I started hearing about this COVID-19 virus and how it was potentially going to impact our daily routines, pretty much coming from each side of the United States. And it wasn't really, I would say, the beginning of March till it really started taking hold with me.
How is life different at your company? Actually, let me back it up. Are you based out of Ohio, or where's your office?
Yeah, I'm based out of Ohio.
Okay, that's what I thought. So did you guys feel the effects a little bit after you mentioned the coastal locations? Is that sort of how it started at Mesa?
You know, not much later than that. You know, our governor really took some aggressive steps.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, early on to get ahead of this curve we've all heard about. And results are, it looks like those steps were very, very good. And the curve is much lower in Ohio than they originally predicted, which is fantastic. So probably about the same time.
Okay.
It started hitting.
So how is life different at your company? That's something I ask everyone who comes on, but I think it's somewhat therapeutic for people listening in the industry. What's changed in early April relative to early March? It can be working from home. It can be virtual meetings. It can be physical distancing in your locations. What is different in early May or early April, excuse me, relative to a month ago?
I would say the real difference is just the impact of this across the United States. So we've changed our business, as many have. Anybody who can work from home works from home. Our crews are still out working where it's safe for them to be. We're doing everything we can to provide our crews with, you know, things we never thought we'd need to provide our crews with you know, masks and PPE that you wouldn't think one of our crews would ever need, sanitation wipes, you know, anything we can find to help protect them. Because a lot of these folks, you know, they're going into hotels in the evening. They're away from home. In our material manufacturing side, they've had to change how they do business, and they're keeping social distancing as much as possible. So we've remained open. We're continuing to serve our customers as best we can in locations where it's safe for our people to be. And our rule of thumb is, if anybody in Mesa feels uncomfortable, unsafe in an area that they're in, we get them home. No questions asked. So it's absolutely changed from that side of our business. Working virtually, that's in itself its own challenge. You know, just to be able to have a simple conversation with somebody by walking around the door and walking into their office, to now you have to either call them or set up a virtual meeting, changes how you schedule your day and sure, probably your priorities, right? I don't know about most people, but I'm an office guy. In that 20-minute ride I took every morning to go to the office, got my mindset right. I was thinking about what had to be accomplished for that day. And my day was very structured. I had certain things laid out. I was going to grab something to eat. I was going to go work out at a certain time. And I was probably going to be out of that office in a certain time. Having to change being working from home, I've actually been a little more productive than probably I was there. But I've also found it's hard to shut down. I don't know if anybody else has seen that. You know, when I was working from an office, I had a certain time I always liked to be away and get back home. I've had to adjust to that.
Yeah.
And of course, my wife helps me with that. She'll go, you know, it's about time you shut that off. You know, it's like, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I'll shut that off now.
For our audience that may not be familiar with you guys, what services do you all provide? Just trying to understand better the scope and how it impacts your day-to-day out in the field.
Well, we're a full service corrosion supplier and provider of solutions. So our company does everything from manufacture materials that we use and many people use across the United States to mitigate corrosion. We're in the cathodic protection field, corrosion engineering field, integrity engineering. We cover the gambit. We try to be a full service corrosion control provider.
Okay, that's good to know. Because my next question is the type of feedback you've heard from your customers, your clients, the industry. When you're looking at some of these projects, what's the feedback you get as far as this crisis, the impact that it's having on business? You mentioned earlier that you are still going out and doing some things, some of your projects. Just curious, by and large, what the business impact has been from those in the industry that you've talked to. And if there's any sense for the timetable of a return to at least semi-normalcy.
Semi-normal, that's going to be an interesting topic. What is normal when
Yeah.
this is all over, right? We've had some projects that have been suspended or delayed. Most of these were in larger metropolitan areas where it just simply wasn't safe for it to go into. So those have been, but really not that many, to be
Okay.
totally honest with you. I think there's two fronts. We're possibly interrelated. We have the COVID-19, which is obviously out there. Then we also have the economy and the price of oil that we're looking at. So how this is going to totally impact our business probably is yet to be seen. Right now, we've suspended some projects, we've delayed some projects, but as far as acquiring business and continuing to operate, things are pretty much on track. I'm really excited about the fact that we have not laid off anybody through this process so far. And I think Mesa has a little bit of an advantage here. We're privately owned, so we don't have the dividends and the stockholders expecting a return right now. And we truly value people. So nobody's been laid off.
That's very good to hear. And of course, some of it ties into leadership as well. I want to get back to your leading in a time of crisis document that you put together. Some advice, the three priorities that you laid out for companies, well, not just this industry, I would say anywhere these are potentially applicable. But first, define the objective. Secondly, people come first. And third, chart the course, then change as needed. How would you say that your company is doing at those priorities? And if you could elaborate a little bit about what each of those are.
Well, I think Mesa is doing well in a very chaotic time. We're shifting and moving as we can. The first step of any crisis is to find the objective. I'm willing to bet everybody out there started this year with a plan, and that plan was going to guide them and lead them to where they wanted to be come the end of this year. Well, I'm willing to bet that plan has changed
Yeah.
in some way or some form, but that doesn't necessarily mean the goal has changed. I think that's important. It's not unusual if you go through any year to see something impact our industry in one way or another. And that means that you probably laid out maybe it was a very detailed strategic plan. Maybe it wasn't as detailed as others would do, but you had a plan. And then what you have to do as the year goes on is you got to change that plan, but the goals shouldn't change. Now, maybe for some businesses, the goals are going to have to change. There is no way around. You're going to achieve that objective. So define it. What do you want come the end of this year? What is it that you want to achieve? And then build your plan to make sure that you're going to take the road you need to go to get there. Second one is absolutely people come first. This is the most critical part of leadership in any business, any successful business. It's just a group of successful people. That's the rudimentary rule to success. You got to have great people. In these times, you got to put people first. This is any good, genuine leader understands the importance and the value of people. But in times of crisis, in times like these, that can't just be words. There's got to be action behind that. What are you willing to do to protect your people? Because this will end. This is going to come to an end. And your ability to survive this and achieve the objectives is all based on your people. It's all based on the people who are going to make that happen. And this is a time for leaders to either build their influence with the people who have chosen to join them, or unfortunately degrade it based on the actions and the steps you take as it relates to the people. And the second thing you do, you got to really chart your course. There's no playbook for this one, right? Nobody had this in their plan. I'm willing to bet nobody had in their plan that this would occur. In the United States, we went from a blossoming economy. Everything was going just fantastic to what we're dealing with today. So once you define the objective, you come up with a plan on how you're going to head in that direction. You're going to have some flexibility right now. You're going to have to understand that potentially daily, weekly, monthly, you're going to have to change. And I don't see this coming to an end just in a wide brush moment, right? I see things coming back to whatever normal is going to be slowly in different segments of the United States. I think you're already seeing some positive news coming out now that hopefully we're coming to the peak of this, and it's going to start to, we're going to be on the downhill slope of this, but that's not happening equally across the entire nation. It's happening at different stages as this COVID-19 virus takes its course. So I think you're going to have to be flexible and say, okay, where is it safe to now move, and where do we have to avoid that maybe we weren't even avoiding a month ago? Now we do. So flexibility and charting the course, key to that, listen to your people. Get your people and listen to what they're saying, hear their input, be open to it, understanding that you as a leader don't have to have all the answers. You just got to listen to your folks, get buy-in, come up with a plan, and then everybody understand that, hey, that may have to change as you gain more knowledge.
As far as areas of potential or needed improvement, I'm going to read to our audience a passage from your Chart the Course section. You need to understand we are dealing with a lot of unknowns. Therefore, drop your ego and listen to your people on how things are going. You must be willing to change based on the input from the folks making it happen and make changes as needed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but of those priorities that you lined out, that's the most difficult, because so many of us, we go into situations with a plan, with a regimented routine of how things are normally done. And in this case, it's so unprecedented. You have to be adaptable. You have to be flexible. And I don't want to say that people are struggling at that, but at face value, to me, that seems like the toughest to implement. That seems like the biggest challenge. Is that a fair assessment? Is that something that you've seen at all?
I couldn't say it better. I don't know if everybody's struggling with it. I know I am. I'm that guy that hey, let's come up with a plan, and you work the plan till the plan doesn't work, and then you change the plan or tweak it. But those changes and tweaks or twists of the plan typically aren't as dramatic as we're seeing today. So you really have to have that flexibility, that agility also, to be able to change the direction you're going as quickly as it's safe for you to do and efficient for you to do. And this is really testing that, I think, in most people. I'm willing to bet, just like you said, Ben, that most people have a routine each and every day, and it's our normal. It's our autopilot, if you will. I'm willing to bet the majority of people have had to change that to some way or another. And we still have to be productive, creative. We still have to come up with, we still have to hit objectives and goals. And how you do that has had to have been impacted in one way or another. That flexibility in avoiding, as best you can, frustration, which may pour out on your team because maybe the team's struggling with a virtual environment versus a face-to-face environment. That's a huge part of what your company, what your team's going to look like at the outcome of this. So yeah, flexibility is a major step here.
We're finishing up here with Mark Cadle, Director of Services at Mesa Products. Last question for you, Mark. When we look at where the corrosion industry goes from here, what are the steps that we need to be looking for to know that we're heading to a new phase? When we talk about what comes next, certainly there's going to be federal decisions. There's going to be state-by-state decisions. There's even in major metropolitan areas, which we referenced earlier, it can be at the mayoral level. What are the things that we should be looking for to think that, hey, we might be a step closer towards normal business? What are the priorities to watch for in the coming weeks that might signal, again, I don't want to go so far as to say normalcy, because we don't even know what normalcy will look right. like after this.
Right.
But what are the next steps that we should be looking for from a business perspective to start to see some progress towards something like what we had before all of this?
Unfortunately, I think for all of us, we're going to have to be a little bit in reaction mode. And that's never a good position to be in, right? You always want to be proactive. You want to be ahead of the curve, not behind the curve. And in this situation, I think the more I'm learning is we're going to have to be a little more reactive. Again, it goes back to your people. You're going to have patience. And as the stay-home orders start to lessen and drop, as you start to see states open up, to going back to, like you said, whatever normal is going to be when this is over, that's when you can start going back to full-time business. But patience is going to be a part of this. And if you're going to keep your people at the value that I know we do, it's going to be somebody else basically telling you, your customers, the government, and I think the government is really making the major decisions on this and opening up really state by state when you think about it. So comply with what they're telling you to do. We are as equally responsible for stopping the spread of this virus. I know we have an important job. We're out there protecting the infrastructure out there, and everybody in the corrosion industry plays a major role in that. And you know, corrosion hasn't stopped because this virus is going on. So be patient, wait for states to open up, keep your people safe.
Actually, let me throw one additional question in there since you mentioned the role of government. One thing within the past couple of weeks that's been thrown out actually by members of both parties is, and I'm speaking politically here, the potential for an infrastructure bill, which would be pretty big for the corrosion industry if that were to happen. Is that something that might arise from this? Because as I look at it, I know you're not a political expert, I'm certainly not either, but you're going to need some sort of stimulus to get Americans back to work, those that unfortunately have lost jobs. I know you mentioned Mesa Products has not had to lay anyone off, which is a great sign. But for those of us that aren't so lucky, for any listeners out there in this industry in particular, I would think that infrastructure is something that could be a jolt. Is that maybe something? I know that's not a short-term priority. That's probably something once you get back to some semblance of normalcy that you can look at. Is that something that you have any optimism for?
I do, actually. I was really excited to hear that. And I think it's important. I think, you know, most of us who have worked in this industry as long as we have, we know the age of our underground pipelines and what we're shipping things on. And although I think all of us are doing the best we can to protect those and elongate the life of those, there's a limit. And so I'm hoping this does come through. It helps stimulate not only our industry, but others. That would be just a huge plus for our economy and for our business overall.
No doubt. Folks, he is Mark Cadle. If you want more information on Mesa Products, where he is Director of Services, you can go to mesaproducts.com. Mark, if people want more information on you, anything you want to throw out as far as where people can find more of your materials, you've done a great job. We've got your paper on leading in a time of crisis posted at materialsperformance.com. If people want more from you or to get in touch, are there any ways that they can do that?
There's a couple different ways. You can obviously reach out to Mesa's website. That you can contact me directly through there, www.mesaproducts.com. From the leadership standpoint, you can reach out to me through, if you're interested in the newsletter, please get on the NACE site. I do a monthly newsletter just to help out in these times right now. You're welcome to jump on there.
We really appreciate it. Mark, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it.
Good insight there from Mark Cadle, Director of Services at Mesa Products. And with that, we will bring this NACE International podcast to a close. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want more content from the MP interview series or NACE International before our next podcast, these are ongoing. We're looking at the impact of COVID-19 on your business, on the corrosion industry. But if you want insight before we do another podcast, the best way to get that is online. You can reach NACE International at www.nace.org, or you can reach Materials Performance and go to the recent news section at materialsperformance.com. That's where we've got the paper from Mark Cadle up. It's an excerpt from his newsletter about leading in a time of crisis. So if you want insight from Mark or anything else going on with COVID-19 and what it means for the corrosion industry, again, nace.org or materialsperformance.com. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose, staff writer with Materials Performance Magazine and with Coatings Pro Magazine. This is another NACE International podcast as part of our COVID-19 interview series. Thanks to Mark Cadle for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. And please come back soon for more episodes right here at NACE International, your home for podcasts of, well, everything related to COVID-19 and what it means for your industry.